We are coming up on 8:45 this morning for the first time since a special election sent him to Richmond in January of 2011. Republican delegate Greg Habib faces competition for his 8th district seat. Democrat Steve McBride hopes to represent the district. He will join us next week. But with us live right now is Delegate Habib. And Greg, thank you so much for coming by our studio. Nice to have you visit.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Now, we have to start, Greg, with the mass shootings in Las Vegas, sure. Which remind us of Virginia Tech more than 10 years ago. What, if anything, can the General Assembly and the governor do that they have not done in efforts to prevent such events here in Virginia?
Sure. And, you know, this really is a tragic time. We see too many of these tragedies. Back in my first campaign, I was actually beginning a radio interview as news came over the radio of Gabby Giffords shooting the congresswoman mm-hmm. then. So a couple years ago, we actually had a big gun-related deal that brought in voluntary gun show background checks and numerous other things. That was the reciprocity deal that involved concealed carry permits. So there was actually a lot of bipartisan work on guns there. I think we have to learn from every one of these. So we're learning, for example, this new technology, this bump stock technology that apparently allows the conversion of a semi-automatic weapon into an automatic weapon. I'm not aware that that's been discussed at a policy level in Richmond. Now, I'm not on the committee where those bills go, but we're going to have to continue to look at these as technology evolves, as society evolves. We have to continue to evaluate these. Again, I will point out there was significant bipartisan movement on guns a few years ago, which is a sign that Richmond still can work and can still address problems.
Greg, this is Evan Jones. Good morning.
Hey,
good to see you again. Turning to other matters, Mr. McBride calls SOL tests wasteful and keeps teachers from actually teaching. Of course, your wife's
right.
a former teacher, a
right.
public school teacher. She still subs. So I presume this matters comes up at home from time to time, education. And so do you look upon OSOLs as a net plus or minus for Virginia students?
Yeah, so I'm thrilled when anybody joins my fight to reform our SOLs that we've been doing for years. You know, my kids take SOLs. I've got three kids in the public schools. My brother's a principal. My wife is a former teacher. Now she's a substitute teacher. She's in South Salem Elementary School today. My mom's a private school teacher. Nothing's more important than education. I've been the leader on SOL reform. I carried the bill to reduce the number of SOLs. I carried the bill to allow SOL retakes. I carried the first bill ever to allow student growth model for assessments, which is gets away from that one size fits all testing model. Look, standards of learning conceptually are important because we need to know what works. We need to have accountability. We need to have best practices. When the tests themselves became the end all be all of education, that's become a problem. So again, I'm proud to have been the leader on these issues, working with my colleagues in Richmond. And again, if someone else running for office wants to join in that fight, I welcome them to that fight, and we'll continue to do that. Now, there are some federal requirements for testing under federal law that we can't do anything about. And so I think some folks have made proposals to totally eliminate testing, which would invalidate the significant amount of funding we get from the federal government. So we need to be aware of that. And it'd be reckless to just eliminate all testing without understanding the consequences. But, yeah, I'm proud to have been a leader on that issue, and we'll continue to fight for reform.
Specifically, what would you like to do next?
Well, really, the whole point is to get to a student growth model. So I went to Memphis after the Rio reports in New Orleans to see education reform issues there. And there was a wall that had the kids' pictures on it, and there was a kid's face at the top, and she was the hero of the class. And the kid was there, and I said, wow, you must have gotten 100 on your test. And the teacher said, no, she got a 50. And I said, well, why is she on the top? And they said, because day one she got a 0, and today she's got a 50. And she's shown more growth than any other kid. And to see that kid's face light up, the kid got a 50. Under our SOL model, that's a failure. And yet they were celebrating her as literally the hero of the class because of her growth. So what we need to do philosophically is move further and further to student growth as the way we evaluate, assess, and train, as opposed to one size fits all. Again, I carried the first bill to do that. I worked with the Salem superintendent at the time, Alan Siebert, who's still the superintendent. The first year I carried that bill, the subcommittee chairman from my own party literally shouted me out of the room for having the audacity to bring that bill. Who did I think I was to try to reform education that way? And in just my 6 years, we've gone from being shouted out of the room to now almost universally accepted that student growth is the way to judge education.
We are speaking with 8th District Republican Delegate Greg Habib, running for a fourth full term. His district covers Salem, all of Craig County, and parts of Roanoke and Montgomery counties. You've said you cannot take a position on the Mountain Valley Pipeline
yeah.
because your law firm which employs you, also represent some people who who oppose the pipeline in various ways. That said, do you think that the federal permitting process has been properly conducted?
Yeah, you know, I appreciate any chance to talk about the pipeline. I've represented landowners in court fighting against the Mountain Valley Pipeline. My law firm's done many of those. Therefore, it's sort of unethical for me to take a specific position. But what I've been able to do is fight the process issues. As your listeners know, there was a lot of concern about the DEQ process for the 401 water certification. There weren't any public hearings being held in the affected territory. So Delegate Yost and I sort of forced DEQ's hand and got them to hold additional public meetings, one in Newport to address the Craig County, Giles County, in the Mount Tabor area, Montgomery County concerns, the other in Roanoke County to address Bent Mountain and otherwise. The process is better because of that. The process has still been very flawed, frankly. There's been a lack of information for citizens. There's a perception of lack of transparency. It's been an interesting issue because it brings together maybe people on the left side of the political spectrum who maybe have environmental concerns and private property rights concerns, people on the right side who maybe have the private property concerns and others. It's been an interesting issue. We did just find out yesterday that DEQ is going to make their recommendation to the State Water Board in, I think, the first week of December for MVP and the second week of December for ACP. We've been working with the localities to try to encourage DEQ to require a bond, a mitigation bond, so that if there were any subsequent problems, environmental or otherwise, that the bond would kick in. So we'll continue to fight the process both at the state and federal level.
All right, 8th District Republican Delegate Greg Habib in studio with us this morning. It's 8:51. Now, you're seeking a fourth full term in the House of Delegates, which right now is almost two-thirds Republican. Now, Greg, does Virginia benefit from either party having such a strong majority in either side of the General Assembly?
Yeah, so I think there is a role for divided government. Frankly, almost the whole time I've been in Richmond, there's been divided government, either because we had a Democratic executive or for part of the McDonald term, we had a Democratic Senate. But the truth is, there are very few issues in Richmond that are partisan. No question there's partisan issues. No question about it. Most issues are geographic issues, though. And what's really helped our region in Western Virginia, as our overall numbers have shrunk, our effectiveness within the majority caucuses has actually grown. And a lot of what happens in Richmond is driven through the majority caucuses. And so a lot of things we've been able to do, saving Catawba, getting money for Eldor, getting money in the bond package for Virginia Tech Carilion, protecting our transportation funding here and not allowing Fairfax to change the funding formula, not allowing Fairfax to change the education formula. All of that is because we have strong representation in the majority caucuses. Now, Republicans aren't always right, and I disagree with my caucus frequently. I get yelled at sometimes for disagreeing with my caucus. But so far, it has worked well. But I think checks are important in government. And it's worked well in my 7 years. Again, I think I only had 1 year, I think, of the McDonald administration with total Republican control. The rest of the time, there's either been a Democratic veto or a Democratic Senate.
Greg Habib, your opponent, Steve McBride, is among 16 Democratic candidates for a delegate who are proposing endorsing a single-payer health care system in Virginia. I'm presuming you would disagree with that, but more to the point, what, if anything, should Virginia do at this point to address the health care needs of its residents?
Yeah, so I don't know my opponent. Frankly, I've never met him. I don't believe he's ever lobbied our office on an issue in the past, and so it's hard for me to judge a perspective that he's taken, so I won't be judgmental of his proposal. Frankly, it probably comes from a position of not really understanding the way the state budget works. In their own proposal, they mentioned a $23 billion tax increase, billion with a B, doubling the size of our general fund, taking money from education, taking money from public safety, everything else. I don't believe Virginians want a state-run socialized healthcare system that's going to cost $23 billion in new money, almost $50 billion in total money. So I think that's, frankly, a non-starter. I think it's interesting that the Democratic leadership did not back their request. Ralph Northam, the Democrat running for governor, did not back their request. This was 16 first-time candidates who all have aligned themselves with these out-of-state funded billionaire like Tom Steyer and this Perriello group and others. I think you can see what's driving what they want to do. Frankly, what we need to do is continue to get reforms in our Medicaid system. We have a Medicaid reform commission that's been working. We've been seeking waivers from the federal government. That's a significant part of it. The problem at the state level is so much of it is locked up by what does or doesn't happen in D.C. that you can't get too far ahead of the game. So We have citizens right now who don't have access to health care. We have citizens who have access to health care but no health insurance. We're finding out that because of the Obamacare exchanges, there's going to be potentially a doubling of insurance premiums, which is better than no insurance that we thought we were going to have a month ago available on the exchange. But now we're finding out, yeah, you're going to have it, but your premiums might double. We are really at the point of a healthcare crisis in delivery and in funding.
We have about 1 minute left with Delegate Greg Habib. You have made a case in recent sessions for restoring more felons' rights.
Yep.
Your candidate for governor in his criminal justice reform proposals kind of said, well, we'll just make a committee to study it. Where do we go from your standpoint
next year
on this? We have about a minute.
Okay, I've always argued that access to justice shouldn't be subject to whoever happens to be in the governor's office, and that's the system we have now. Whatever system you believe in terms of restoration, you shouldn't have a system where all that power is vested in one person who happens to win the governor's office. We need a better system. I'm confident that Ed Gillespie is going to work on this issue. He and I have had conversations about it. I like the other criminal justice things he's talking about. So, for example, talking about drug addicts and treating them not as bad people that need to get good, but as sick people who need to get well. I'm thrilled to have a Republican statewide candidate using the language I've been using for 7 years about criminal justice, restoration, and reform. And I welcome anybody else, whatever party you're in, black, white, poor, rich, city, rural, I don't care, join in this fight because this is one of the things that I'm very passionate about in Richmond.
All right, that's all the time we have this morning. But 8th District Republican Delegate Greg Habib, thank you for taking time to join us. We appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg.
Good morning. It's 8:56.